From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Zachary Barr in for Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. A long line is forming, with anywhere from several hundred to several thousand Coloradans. They're all young illegal immigrants, hoping for a chance to stay and work here legally. President Obama announced a new program last month to make this possible for people whose family brought them here when they were young. One such person is Amita Menjivar.
I'm currently a third-year student studying at the University of Denver. I'm currently studying international business with a minor in legal studies.
I met with Amita at a coffee shop in Denver near her university. Nationally, the Obama administration believes around 800,000 people are eligible. And Amita is certain she's one, as she says she fits the criteria. For one, you must have come to the U.S. as a child, at least 5 years ago, but be no older than 30.
This is where I grew up, in the United States. I was in El Salvador until I was 10. I'm 21 now.
You have to be enrolled in school or have graduated high school.
I graduated from Littleton High School, so I do have a diploma.
And have no criminal record. Amita says everyone in her family is squeaky clean.
We don't have a criminal record. We've always been a family who stays out of trouble. You know, we stay with the law.
Now, in the past, Amita's worked under the table as a babysitter. But she's an ambitious person. After college, she says she wants to go to law school and then get a good job. So having a work permit expands her options.
Oh, it changed it big time because it widens my ability to work wherever I want to. I can just develop my resume and become more appealing to the job market.
Many prominent Republicans have big issues with this policy. They say it's plain wrong to reward illegal immigrants, even if they did come to the U.S. as children. But Laura Lichter sees it differently. She's a Denver immigration attorney and president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association.
This is the government's way of saying, look, we've got somewhere over 11 million people in the United States who are undocumented. And last year, the Obama administration managed to remove just under 400,000 people. Even at that rate, it would take years to remove everybody from the United States if that was even your end goal. What the government has to do is prioritize. And so we prioritize that someone who's younger, someone who's being a productive member of society, who shows by their criminal record that they don't present a threat to our communities. That's easy to sort of put that group aside and then focus on those who would do us harm.
Is it a challenge for people to gather all these documents and prove to the federal government that they fit their criteria?
Well, one other criteria that's very important is that individual needs to have been in the United States for at least 5 years preceding this announcement. So they had to be in the United States from about June 15th of 2007 up through the president's announcement in order to qualify, as well as meeting all those other criteria. For somebody who's in school, proving that might not be all that difficult. You've got a report card. We know where you were 9 or 10 months out of the year. For someone who's a bit older, it's going to be a bit more difficult, especially if that's somebody who doesn't have a Social Security card, doesn't have a way to document their work, might not have had a bank account, etc. So for people who are in that older category, it's going to be more of a challenge.
Digging up an older report card is a really interesting way to show your history in the country. What are some examples of other documents people are searching for right now?
Well, people are searching actually for something that shows that they were in the U.S. on a certain day. And think about it. It's kind of hard to do that. Maybe you went and you took money out of an ATM. Well, you'd have to have a bank account to be able to do that. Maybe you took the dog to the vet. I had a young lady who was able to show me that she rented a video out of a video machine, and she could show that by an email she received that was, you know, King Supers on this particular intersection in Denver. So people have to get creative about where they were. Sometimes it's a family social event, a wedding, a baptism. Whatever it ends up being, it's going to be a real question how difficult it is to establish physical presence.
And what about a pay stub?
Pay stubs are common, but what we also see as a challenge sometimes with undocumented people is they don't have a pay stub. They're paid in cash. Or they're working under a different name. They've got a fake a fake ID that they put together at home or something they're using to work. And instead of having their real name, it has a different name.
And I wonder if there's a reluctance or even a danger for people who decide to go through this process. I mean, they're essentially saying, here's exactly who I am, and I am an illegal immigrant, and here's all the proof.
Absolutely. You're literally saying, this is who I am, and this is where I live. And you're providing enough documentation and enough evidence that if the government did want to eventually bring a deportation case against you, they would have the evidence they need to do so.
And so what do you say to clients who realize that they're essentially building their own deportation case?
It's a very difficult piece of advice to give to somebody, because these kids are so energized by this announcement and so hopeful. Somebody finally gave them a future. And there's a risk, and there's a risk in everything. And we try to make sure that people understand the risk, which is that if this program goes away, you could be exposing yourself. And so anybody who's considering coming forward should be aware of that. We're also counseling people to make sure that they've done a very thorough review of their immigration history, as well as their criminal history. Even minor traffic tickets, we're not really sure how those are going to be considered.
And I suppose one very real risk is just around the corner, the November election. What happens to this new policy if there's a change in administration?
We don't know. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question. Obviously, if there is a change in administration, then there's probably going to be a change in philosophy and a change in personnel. And whether or not a new administration would continue to see the wisdom of this sort of an enforcement prioritization, I have no idea.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Laura Lichter. She's president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Federal officials say the application process for this new immigration program is expected to begin in mid-August.